Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood in righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest friend, but holy lean on Jesus' name. Oh, on Christ the solid rock I stand. Oh, not the ground, yes, sinking sand. Oh, not the ground, yes, sinking sand. Darkness in.
Father, we want to remember Calvary once again upon this night, Lord, and onward we go. No doubt, no fear.
Amen.
So glad that our Savior is near.
Amen.
And Jesus trusting, one day we shall see.
Amen.
Jesus, our friend of Calvary.
Amen.
So Father, won't you help us to remember your death upon this night? Won't you help us, Lord, to come to that place that you may make more real unto us what you've done for us, who we are in you, that Father, we may go from this place better equipped to serve you acceptably and to give you the glory.
Amen.
Bless your word unto us this night, Lord, to pray for your people. Father, prayer has been made already. We thank you for deliverances. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for grace. Father, thank you for watching over your people. Now watch over us this night, Lord. Draw nigh. We just want to fellowship with you, Lord. Thank you for song worship. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you in song. Now, Father, minister the entrance to us in your word, that as we had come to partake of these elements, Lord, it may be good and pleasing before thee, Lord. I pray for Brother Vlad. Be with him, Lord. Father, help him, not able to come. Anybody else as well, we commit them into your hands. Father, we think of Brother Junior tonight. Bless him where he is. And Father, you be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you this evening. Let's open our Bibles, John chapter 13, verse 4. Let's get a thought for communion service. There's something really nice about communion service. If we get into the spirit of communion, it's a wonderful thing, communion. John chapter 13, this is our normal scripture for foot washing. But we'd like to take it and think of how these things apply to us. John 13. Let's read from, in fact, let's read from verse 1 up to verse 4. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that he pours water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So he rises, he takes off his garments, he puts on a towel, the garment of a servant, and he washes his disciples' feet. Let's also look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, we looked at it the other week. Philippians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 1 up to verse 8. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. So Paul is actually saying, he's not saying if there's consolation. If you see what he's actually trying to say, he's saying, because of the consolation that you have in Christ.
Amen.
He says, if any comfort of life, he says, because of the comfort the love of God gives you.
Amen.
If any fellowship of the Spirit, because of your fellowship with the Spirit.
Amen.
If any bowels and mercies. That spiritual realm where you feel where you, the burden of the Lord and you feel for one another. So Paul is saying, he says, all of these things are the resources that are available to the believer. The fellowship of the Spirit, the comfort of the Spirit, all of these things, the believer knows them. He says, because you know that realm, because you know the resources, he says, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So if you read chapter 1 of Philippians, he's speaking of external pressures and strife that's coming against them. And then he's getting on now to internal pressures and strife and misunderstandings in the church. And the way that he exhorts them now to face up to these things, he says, saints, you know your fellowship with Christ. You know the mercy that Christ always gives you. You know the comfort he gives you in your trial. He says, now express those things to your brethren. Take these resources that you as a believer can use and use these to face up to the situations that you're in. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then people will say, but that's not easy to do. Then he says, let me show you the supreme example of this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, we just read that in John 13, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. Let us take this thought once again for communion of let this mind be in you. It's actually a command if you go and read it. It's not just a suggestion to say, you know, this is something optional. Paul is saying, in light of all the pressure out there, in light of all the things that you're going through in here, in the church, he says, let this mind be in you. So he's showing that this is the answer to so many things. We spoke about it a little bit the other week, but you want to have a look in the connection of communion to really, really see this expression of this mind that was in Christ. You know, Paul, when he's looking at this, just in a few verses, you know what he does? He goes right back in eternity. He goes back before the foundation of the world. He goes right back to the throne of glory which Christ came from. He goes right back. He's in the form of God. He's God. This is the Lord of glory that came down. And then he's going to trace him all the way down from the throne of glory, bring him into the manger. Such a humble setting that he was born in, yeah? Born in a manger. Then he's going to take him down from there. He's found in fashion as a man. And if that wasn't enough for the Lord of glory to strip himself and come down as a man, to pour himself out, like the prophet says, he continues. He says, and being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself even further. And he became obedient. He became a servant. Imagine. And then if you would have thought, that's far enough, surely, Lord, you can't go any further in showing us how humble and far. You can go in wanting to express who you are to us. He goes beyond just being a servant, and he humbles himself further and becomes obedient. My, God himself becomes obedient. He becomes a servant that is obedient. And not only does he stop at becoming obedient, he says he becomes obedient unto death. Amen. Not only to death, to die in his bed as an old man in a palace like a king, but obedient to death, even the death of the cross, which was the worst death that was ever in the minds of man. It was the worst form of punishment that the Roman Empire could ever, ever think of. It was of the worst criminal. No Roman citizen could be crucified. Paul couldn't be crucified. They chopped off his head. Because the Romans wouldn't do that to their own people. But Paul is saying, have a look at this one who started on the throne of glory. He's God. He's the Logos. But he comes down and He's got a purpose in coming down. He's going to come down from the throne of glory. He's going to come down in the fashion of a man. He's going to learn obedience through the things that he goes through. Then he's going to come and wash his disciples' feet. Not only that, he's going to go to the cross to take the iniquities, our iniquities upon himself. He says, and because of this, God has highly exalted him. And then he starts taking him back now from that lowest of the low. He takes him right from the cross and he goes down into the regions of the lost. Jesus goes down right to hell, Hades itself. You couldn't have gone lower. Amen. Then God takes him from there and brings him back up. But the wondrous thing is that he's not going back into his former glory on his own. Amen. He's going back with us. Amen. So he's coming all the way down on his own from his throne of glory. Because he's the first one who needs to be expressed in his glory. He knows the glory that he had. And he's going to come down and become so humble and become a servant. And he's going to come and minister an entrance. He's going to come and minister to his brethren. He's going to come and wash the feet, not just of anybody, but he's going to come and wash the feet of the fellow attributes that were with him in God before the foundation of the world. Then he's going to come and serve them and show the example. He's going to come and minister to them. He's going to come and meet their needs. He's going to come and show them the way. And then he's going to die for them. And then he's going to rise on high. Now he's made the way open for all the rest. He's ministered the entrance to every single one of us to inherit the same glory. To return to the former glory once again. And that's why he says, Father, restore me to the glory that I had with you. He knew he came from the glory. But he knew there was a purpose that he had to strip himself of the glory, had to humble himself, had to lay aside so much privilege and honor, which his nature, his character, his being, he had every right to it when he was on earth. And every step of the way, it was willing. He did it willfully. There wasn't one step of the way that he wasn't willing to do it. Every step of the way, it was willing obedience, willing obedience, willing obedience. And that was so pleasing to the Most High. Until he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. Because this is the kind of life. That's why Paul, in trying to show the church about unity and about overcoming suffering from without, overcoming discord from within, he's showing this is the kind of attitude, this is the kind of mind that God blesses. Amen. When you have this kind of a mind, God is going to say, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. This is a kind of attitude, this is the kind of unfolding of somebody's life, going lower and lower and lower in obedience to the will of God to fulfill a divine purpose that God cannot but pour the fullness of his blessing upon. Amen. And that's why Paul is giving this as the example. He's saying, you Philippians, yes, they're persecuting you for being believers. You're suffering as believers. Yes, and the devil's trying to come among you, and one person's trying to be bigger to the other, and you're just thinking of your own things. He says, don't do that. He says, God has given you resources. He says, if you only realize that just as much as this one that walked among us, Jesus, he came from glory. He didn't start in the manger. He existed before the manger. And he's saying, don't you realize yourselves, you never started in your mother's womb. You came from glory as well. Because your soul came from the same place that he came from. So Paul is saying, how can you not be united if you use the resources he's given you? Because you come from the same glory. So friends, amongst the elect, there's such a potential for unity that you'll never be able to find anywhere else. Because of our pre-existence in him. And because of our predestination that he brings us together in a certain place at a certain time for a certain purpose. And he gives us all the divine resources that we need in these the days of our flesh. And that's why Paul, in just a few verses, he's covered it right from eternity past. Right from the King of Glory, Jesus, before he was Jesus, seated on the throne. Melchizedek, before he was even Melchizedek. or seated on the throne. He's brought him down and said, brethren, look at this example I'm going to set before you. Look where he came from. There was a purpose that he had to go through the days of his flesh. He had to be obedient. He had to humble himself. He had to become obedient. Though inside of him, he was still the Lord of glory. He didn't have to do these things. Didn't he, when they took him there to the cross and Peter took the sword and wanted to stop the work of God being fulfilled? What did Jesus say? Do you not know that I could call to my Father and he would send 10 legions of angels? He says, if you know who's inside of me. But friends, he humbled himself. And then he humbled himself further. And then he humbled himself further. And then he humbled himself so far down. The prophet says that the shortest man, in the lowest city, Jericho, the lowest point on earth, city in earth, is Jericho. And there was the shortest man in the city, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was looking down on Jesus. Amen. The prophet says, you can't get any lower than that. Amen. And friends, there's something about this that God blesses. Amen. This kind of mind in a person. When it speaks about let this mind be in you, it means let this attitude be in you. It's not just an intellectual mind. It's not just the thoughts that you have. But it's this disposition. This way that Jesus conducted himself. His entire ambition and aim each day when he got up, what was it? He had a certain mind. Amen. There was a certain governing influence, a certain governing principle. And because he took on the form of a man, he was a man like us. He was subject to temptation like us. He was subject to weariness and hunger and thirst and tiredness like us. He was subject to all the things that we're subject to. So this obedience, this willful obedience, step by step, to follow through his divine purpose that he was sent to do, the will of his Father, there was much opposition. He had to be an overcomer. That's why the prophet preaches, how can I overcome? And he says, he's the great overcomer. Amen. And he showed us how to overcome. And God in Christ, in these verses, is showing us what he will bless. He's showing us this attitude, this something that he will bless. This is the mind of a beloved son. Amen. If you want God to look down on your life and say, this is my beloved son, hear ye him, then let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Amen. Let the same attitude be in you that was also in Christ. Amen. Friends, it's a serious thought that Paul gets into. I've been on this one for weeks. I said to Brother David that night when he came to get the car, I said, brother, sometimes you'll take a certain verses and it's just, you keep going back to it because you know there's more and more. Then you take unveiling of God and the prophet speaks of it. He speaks of on morphe and he speaks of kenos and all those different things. He speaks of Christ humbling himself, God pouring himself out, God stripping himself of his dignity, God stripping himself of the privilege which his nature, his character, his being entitled him to. Jesus was entitled, friends, to far greater than all the greatest palaces this world has ever made. When he came on earth, he was entitled to far more than this world could ever provide. Amen. He was entitled to be served, to be waited on night and day. Yeah? Because of who he was. All of these privileges he had, he should never have been hungry. Why would he have to be hungry? Satan said it to him, turn the stones to bread. He knew, you don't have to be hungry. Turn the stones to bread. But there was an example here. This was God revealing who he was. This was God revealing that if you came from glory, this is the way you get back to glory. That there's a purpose here in the midst. And if you want the full blessing of God upon your life, then let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Amen. Let this attitude be inside of you. Let this mode of thinking, let this something which governed him also govern you. And that's why Paul's saying at the beginning of the chapter, he says, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, he says, you people know what Christ ministers to you, how he helps you, how he humbles himself and comes down to where you are. Even when you're down and you don't feel like going on, he comes and washes your feet. Amen. He comes and encourages you. Then he says, so if that's who he is, then you do this to your brethren as well. Amen. Don't think yourself better than someone. Don't think that you can't help somebody else. He says that's not the mind that was in him. Though he is the King of glory, that's not the mind that he has. But look at the mind. Look how he unfolds himself. The unfolding of how this mind of Christ expresses itself in the life of Christ. Until he is willing to take on the prophecy to become a foot wash flunky. The lowest paid servant, the lowest of all of the occupations of all of the servants was a foot wash flunky. Was the one that when you had come from walking on the road and you'd been walking there where the donkeys had been doing whatever they do and that had mixed up in the dust and your feet were sweating and the robe would be brushing the dust and the dust would go on your legs and on your feet and your feet would smell bad. Then you would come now to the house of the rich man and you'd have the first servant there was the poorest of all of them. He was the one that would wash your feet. And Jesus stripped himself, took off his outer garment. He took on the garment of a servant, a towel. He girded himself. And he came and washed the feet of his creation. Amen. Think of it.
Amen.
Who are we, friends? We're nobody. How can we think we're somebody? Look at how he conducted himself. Yet look at who he was. Look at what he could have done. Look at the power. Look at the majesty that was always in him. Because look what Paul goes to tell us about Jesus. He says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. He had all the attributes of God. He was the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. But Jesus never thought that deity that he was something to be prized or to be boasted about or something to think about all the time. It wasn't what he was here to do. He never took that and said, don't you people know who I am? Don't you know who I really am? That wasn't his mind that he had. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Made himself, and the prophet uses that word in unveiling of God, and he says it means to empty yourself. It means this great God of glory, he emptied himself from being on the throne of glory. He came and he emptied himself into a man. And he stripped himself and took on all of the form of a man. He had all the weaknesses of a man. He grew as a baby. He cried as a baby. He grew up, growing in favor before God and man, learning obedience as he went along. But he was God. He was the fullness of God as a man. And that's why you'll see from this, friends, that God, it's not great gifts and talents that God blesses. But if you want God to bless you, it's how great your likeness can be to Christ. Amen. That's what God blesses. Because God is showing here what he really blesses. So if you want the full blessing of God inside of your life, don't go seeking for other things. Seek for this mind to be in you that was also in Christ. That's how you get the divine favor. You know, one man once said, and I liked it, and he said, you know, I used to think when I grew up as a Christian that if I wanted to get greater and greater gifts, The further I went as a Christian, the bigger I became as a Christian. And these gifts were like on shelves and I'd be able to reach higher and higher. Then I started to realize he says that Christianity is not like that. He says the greatest gifts are at the bottom.
Amen.
And that you've got to stoop lower and lower and lower to get more and more divine favor from God.
Amen.
It's exactly the opposite of what this world would have us to believe.
That's right.
Yes. That's why he who humbles himself shall be exalted.
Amen.
But he who exalts himself shall be humbled. And God came and showed us the way. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus could have changed things all the time. Jesus willingly, when he saw this is the will of God, step by step made a willing choice. Like Brother Lubanzo was preaching last week. Choice, free will. Every step of the way, Jesus didn't have to do it. He didn't have to drink the cup in Gethsemane. He didn't have to do it. He could have gone back into glory by himself. He hadn't sinned. He had done nothing wrong. He had been a perfect son. But he was willing to pay the price. He was willing to be obedient. And that's what God blesses. And that's where the conflict comes in, because he had conflict. There was conflict between his human nature, because he took on the form of a man. And there was conflict between the human nature and the divine nature that was in him. Because it wasn't easy. No one was ever asked to do what Jesus was asked to do. There's never been anybody who was asked to do what Jesus was asked. Jesus was asked by the eternal that was in him to step into death itself. Not just natural death, but into spiritual death. He had to die separated from the presence of eternal life. Just by faith and in obedience, no man ever had to do that before. But he knew, I'm going to step right into death, into separation from God, because he had to pay the price for us. But imagine that obedience that he had, step by step by step. But God really veiled himself inside of him. So God has already shown, demonstrated before us, the potential in such a life as this. And friends, and Paul is showing us in Philippians, that potential is in every one of the elect. Because your soul came from the glory as well. The potential's in you. But just as much as Jesus, he was in the form of God. God was in him. He was God as a man. Yeah, he had come down from glory, become a man, took on the likeness of human flesh. It wasn't easy for him each step of the way. There was trials. There was opposition. There was contradiction of sinners. Paul says, you haven't yet suffered unto blood. Yes. Yeah? Imagine. But when God came down as a man, he so stripped himself of his dignity, of the rightful, you know, power that he should have been able to exert each step of the way, so that he could show us the way. So they could show us that obedience. And each step of the way he had to fight. Each step of the way he had to prevail. Each step of the way God himself had to prevail and overcome. And he says, because I have overcome, I'll be seated on my Father's throne. And he who overcomes will be seated with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I'm seated with my Father and in his throne. Friends, this is the way back into the glory. This is the way, and Paul is showing us, it's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ. You may know so many things. You may know God's favor upon you. You know, may know that God is predestined. You know, all of those things are wonderful things. That's all part of your armor. But that wasn't what Jesus put foremost. That wasn't what he prized the most, was to know that I came from the glory. He says, look, I came from glory, but I'm here for a purpose. I'm here to fulfill a divine will. If I've come down from the glory and I've been put now as a man in human flesh, I've been put with these limitations and this propensity to be tempted and all these different things, there's a purpose for this. There's a reason. And that was the mind that he had. Each step of the way, he says, my meat and my drink is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's the mind that was in Christ. Where that meant he didn't have food, that's okay. As long as I can do the will of my Father. If it meant he'd be so tired getting on a boat to cross a stormy sea because one soul was crying out in the tombs, he was willing to pay the price. When others would have been saying, but surely you need to go and rest. Surely you need to do all these kind of things. No, he could have used the power in him to change the situation. But he stripped himself and became obedient. And that obedience, although he was God, that obedience constrained him that he wouldn't use the power that was in him on himself. Amen. The prophet says he never used his power on himself. Yes. That's not what a gift is given for. Amen. That's what the mind of Christ is. Amen. He used the power. He used the glory. He used his position. He used his favor to minister to his brethren. To minister to his brethren. He used all the resources that were his right to minister an entrance to us so that we can be with him where he is. John 17, his Father, just one thing that I ask of you, that they may be with me where I am and that they may see my glory that thou hast given unto me. That was the mind that was in Christ. And that's why Paul is saying to the Philippians, let this mind be in you. Don't be full of vainglory, he says. Don't be full of strife. Don't be full of all these other things. He says, that's not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is how can you serve and fulfill the purpose that has put you in the condition that you are to fulfill? And how can you minister to your brethren? And that's what Paul is saying. He says, imagine if the God of glory, him being God, he came down. What to do? To wash the feet of his disciples. To minister to his disciples. To watch over his disciples. Paul's saying, what about you and I to one another? Because we come from the same gene pool. We come from the same place. Your soul comes from exactly the same place that he came from. He was the great attribute of God. And he came down, and the mind that was in him, his great attribute that he had, and all the glory he had in him, he was going to use it to minister to the other attributes of God. That's why when he was washing the disciples' feet, he wasn't just washing anybody's feet. He knew who they were. They were his brethren. The Bible says he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. Says, Father, as many as thou hast given unto me. Yeah? That's a thought, friends. That's a thought. And that's how when we break beyond the veil, we break beyond strife and prejudice and sectarianism and racialism and tribalism and politics and all those kind of things. That's all the attributes of this flesh. But inside of us, there's a potential that we can be so united that this world has never seen a unity like that since the book of Acts. Amen. There's a potential in us. Amen. If we will just let this mind be in us. Amen. That was also in him. That's what it is, friends. That's what it is. The prophet says, there's a restoration back to another book of Acts. But let's not forget the book of Acts. Let's look, Acts chapter 2. Just to show the mind that the disciples had. When you see such favor upon a people, great grace upon a people, it's because the mind that was in Christ was in them. And then they lost their first love, and they lost that image they had in the beginning. And then the glory started to depart. Because God will only pour out his glory on this kind of an image, on this kind of an attitude. That's the way that it is. In Acts chapter 2, when they were in one, sorry, Acts chapter 3, just after the day of Pentecost. In fact, sorry, Acts chapter 2, first of all, in verse 44. It says, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. There was a one accord. And you'll find, I remember once before speaking about it, that word in the Bible for one accord, it's a word you don't find in any other literature. It's a word you only find in the Bible. Because the Holy Ghost, when he saw people that were so filled with God's glory, that they had this mind that was in Christ, and there was a certain unity, a certain one accord, a certain harmony of purpose, harmony of desire, there was something so special, so supernatural about what was taking place. When Luke, in the book of Acts, wanted to explain what was taking place, he couldn't find a word in all of the secular dictionaries that he could find. The Holy Ghost had to make a new word. Amen. Because the world had never seen this before. Amen. Because heaven had come down. And there was a one accord now. There was a mind of Christ. There was a unity that had never been since Adam had fallen. Apart from Christ and his Father. That was it. And that's how you find that word for one accord. You find it right through, but I think it's 11 times in the Bible, 10 times in the book of Acts. And so many times in the beginning of the book of Acts, it speaks they were in one accord. They were in one accord. They were in one place in one accord. They was have one mind, one purpose. And friends, that is the only attitude that produces the atmosphere for God to really show and say, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. God is so pleased by that. Look at when that mind was in Christ. Through all the things he went through, even though his disciples let him down, Peter denies him three times. But Jesus quickly shakes himself. And there he goes, and Peter's gone fishing, and he comes and he follows him. And he's not going to allow it to stay like that. That the glory that's in him, the mind that's in him, he wants to be reconciled back. Because this is his brother. This is a fellow attribute. He can't allow it to stay like this at me. I come from the same place. My soul comes from the same place as this man.
Hallelujah.
I can't allow this gap to come between us.
Hallelujah.
Although he's the one that did wrong to me. But I'm going to let this mind govern me. And I'm going to minister a reconciliation. And he went after his brother. And he went and he spoke to Peter. Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? And he says, Simon, go and feed my sheep. And Peter was thinking maybe that he had blown it, that it was the end of him. And he had been given the keys. And now he goes and denies Jesus three times, once with a curse. Jesus comes and says to him, no, 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 no. Have you learned your lesson, Simon? Yes. Go and feed my sheep.
Amen.
Go and minister to your fellow attributes. That's what he's telling him. Amen. Go back and fulfill the purpose that you were called to fulfill. And then we'll both go back to the glory.
Amen.
And every single one of us has this purpose, friends.
Amen.
And every single one of us, it makes it so much easier when you're surrounded by like-minded people. When people aren't pulling this way and pulling that way and pulling that way. That's what Paul is saying in Philippians. Let there be no strife. Let there be no vain glory. Let not one person want to come and say, you know, I know more than all the rest of you. And the other one say, you know, I can do greater things than you. Jesus, though he was God, he never ever thought, let me show the people that I'm God. Satan tried to tempt him. How can I overcome? The prophet shows Satan tried to tempt him and says, if you're the son of God, you're on the pinnacle of the temple. There's all the people gathered down there. Cast yourself off. Show the angels will come and bear you up. Show that you're the son of God. Jesus, the mind that was in him, he knew that's not compatible with the kingdom of God. The prophet says Satan wanted to make him a show off.
Yes.
To show that he could do more than the rest. Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Amen.
And then he says, turn the stones into bread. He could have done it. What does he say? Man shall not live by bread alone.
Amen.
But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
That's the mind that was in Christ. And Paul is saying, let this mind that was in Christ be also in you.
Amen.
And then we won't have strife. We won't have people seeking vainglory.
Amen.
We won't have all these other things because we'll be like-minded.
Amen.
We'll be in one accord. It'll be a great symphony.
Mm.
It'll be a great orchestra. Different musical instruments playing different rhythms and beats and whatever it is. Different frequencies, different notes. But all making one great perfect picture.
Amen.
That you may play this and I may play that. But if the mind that was in Christ is in me and the mind that was in Christ is in you, it's going to make one sweet picture. And that's what they saw in the beginning of the book of Acts. When the people came and it says, and the people feared to join themselves to them. And the people, when they would see them come into the temple, said, surely these men have been with Jesus. Because they could see that the same mind that was in that man, the same conduct, the same attributes that that man was expressing.
Amen.
The same disposition that man, yeah, Jesus had. We see it in these people as well.
Amen.
Ah, friends, that's the great testimony that we desire to have.
Amen.
Not that we have anything else. Friends, we can gain everything else and we don't have this and we lose everything.
Amen.
We've missed the purpose. We've missed the point of why this message came to us. The message came to us to restore. Elijah shall first come and restore all things. So friends, we have a restored word. But you know what you don't yet fully have? Is a restored atmosphere. And the prophet said it's the attitude of the people that produces the atmosphere. And the only way we can get back to that atmosphere in the book of Acts, we've got to have the same mind that was in them.
Amen.
And then when they had the same mind, they could be in a one accord. And God was so pleased because that one accord brings about the peculiar kind of an atmosphere.
Yes.
And that's the kind of atmosphere that God is so willing to fully manifest His glory in, is that kind of an atmosphere. And we can have the restored word and not have a full atmosphere. Because we don't yet have the full mind of Christ governing us. It's still the old man governing, our own self-will, like Brother Banzo was saying on Sunday. It's self in charge. Now your ambitions, your desires, your own thoughts, you want things to be done like, because I don't agree with that, I don't agree with him, I don't agree with her. Friends, when you get to that, you know what we need? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. That was the medicine, that was the cure that Paul was showing them to the situation that was coming to take away that atmosphere. That God has the potential. There's a potential in us, friends, to create such an atmosphere.
Amen.
If we can just get ourselves out the way and let the soul, let that divine attribute in us that's been quickened by the Holy Ghost, that's been brought to life. Remember the prophet said to Billy Paul, if you will just allow that Holy Ghost that is in you to express himself.
Amen.
It's exactly the same as Jesus did.
Amen.
No matter what opposition there was, he allowed that glory. He allowed that glory to express itself to minister, to express itself to meet a need, to express itself to humble himself. Each step of the way. But he was humble. That's what he was. He was so powerful, but he was so humble.
Amen.
And the prophet in this age was so humble.
Amen.
And that's why with this attitude that he had, there was no distance too far. For the prophet to drive.
Amen.
To fulfill the will of God.
Amen.
There was no time limit that he had put on things when it came to the kingdom of God. Because this mind that was in Christ was in him.
Amen.
And that's why there could be a hear ye him.
Amen.
In the prophet's ministry. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him.
Amen.
And that's how we've received, friends, a spoken word message. But in order for there to be a full spoken word manifestation, that's what Paul's saying here. Let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ.
Amen.
That's when God can express far more because there's an atmosphere. Now, there's a nature, there's a conduct, there's a maturity, there's a certain disposition, there's a certain way of handling things. Is that not true?
Amen.
Remember Brother Zalish those years back when he came and preached on the third pull and Christian character.
Amen.
And he said it's impossible for there to be the genuine third pull without Christian character.
Amen.
We can have lots of other manifestation attributes, but for the genuine third pull, God tests character first.
Amen.
He tested the prophet. What was he going to do with those people that came in the meeting and were doing the evil in the back? He says, they're in your hands. He wanted to test the character. But the mind that was in Christ was also in the prophet. Because when John came to Jesus and said, Master, the Samaritans are not allowing us. They don't want to give us any food. Let's call fire from heaven down upon them like Elijah did. Jesus rebuked him and said, the Son of Man didn't come to destroy lives. The Son of Man came to save lives. Can you see that? And that's our friends, when our mouths are so quick, like we said last Friday on the power of the tongue, so quick to condemn other people. So quick to disfellowship people from the message. They're not the bride, they're not the bride and stuff like that. And then you expect God's going to take the spoken word, the creative power and put it in that mouth.
Yes.
You're joking.
Amen.
It's a joke.
Amen.
The third pull goes with Christian character.
Amen.
God's full favor, not his love, because God loves us.
Amen.
Unconditionally because we're his children. But the divine favor that he wants to express in and through us is so dependent, the prophet says, on our character, our conduct.
Amen.
It needs this mind that was in Christ to also be in us.
Amen.
And that's the struggle. And that's how the prophet preaches, how can I overcome? That's why he preaches all of those kinds of messages. You must be born again, and so forth. Because there's got to be a time inside of your experience that that life that of Christ inside of you, it has the preeminence over the natural man. It has the preeminence to put this natural man under. Because that was how it was with Jesus. That's exactly the life that he lived. Let this mind be in you. Now let's just think of this. What is the great enemy of the mind that was in Christ being expressed in us? It's the mind and attitude of Laodicea. Because out of all the ages, Christ couldn't find one thing to commend in Laodicea. The attitude of Laodicea is the enemy of the mind of Christ. You can't have the spirit of Laodicea and have the mind of Christ in you being expressed. You can't. Because Laodicea is people's rights. You're putting your rights, you're putting your ambitions, you're putting your thoughts, your purposes in front of the will of God. And Paul is showing us here that when God himself came down as a man, he never did that even once from when he was born to the time that he resurrected. Every step of the journey, he was willing to sacrifice his own rights. He was willing to sacrifice his own privileges and prerogatives that he had being the Lord of glory. Amen. He didn't have a place to lay his head. There were times he was hungry and he went to a fig tree. Times he didn't have enough money to pay the temple tax. Amen. Had to send Peter to go and catch a fish. That's power, friends. Amen. That is power. Hallelujah. That is character. That when somebody knowing that they're God, knowing they can just speak and change the situation, that there's such a character there to say, but what does Father want here? Amen. It's not important how I feel. It's not important my needs at this time. But what does Papa want now? What does my Father want? I always do that which pleases my Father. It's a challenge, friends. But Paul is bringing it to the Philippians, to believers like us, message believers like us. And he says, this is the answer. If you want to overcome the persecution from without being discouraged. He says, look at the persecution Jesus had from without. Look at the contradiction of sinners that was against him. Imagine, think of it. When he was in his glory, yeah? When he was Michael in his glory, when he was the Logos, the angels worshipped him. Even when he was born, we see it. The angels came and adored, worshipped him. That's what he was worthy of, was worship. Then he comes down among men to show how fallen man is. People spat in his face. Yeah. People beat him with rods and says, if you be the Messiah, the Christ, tell us who hit you. He knew exactly who was hitting them. He knew exactly when they were born. He knew exactly what they'd been doing that day. He knew what they were going to be in the next day. He knew the end of those people. He knew. They tried to catch him in his words. Yeah? The Bible says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Ah, friends, look how far down and rotten human beings are. Yet the angels, they worship him. That's who he was. He hadn't changed. He had just taken the likeness of a man. He had just taken the form of a servant. He was still the same God of glory that he was up there. But it just shows, friends, God has to minister an entrance to you to be able to worship God in your day. God has to show you the way. God has to unveil himself to you. And then you realize, but my, I want to worship this one, this rejected king. But he took on the form of a servant. When we get to the millennium, every single person in the millennium will have this mind that was in Christ. Every single person in the New Jerusalem is this caliber of person. There won't be any other mind. We'll all have the same mind. We'll all be our individual selves. But we'll all have this perfect harmony of mind. And we see it in the book of Acts in the beginning. No one said anything was their own. until the atmosphere started to change. Then you find Ananias and Sapphira. Brother Ananias, Sister Sapphira, now they want to keep some things for themselves. Something's changing. The church is losing its attitude that it had. It's going to lose the atmosphere now as well. Because Laodicea is starting to come in. My own rights. Now, I'm not saying that people must give up their property. No, we're not living in that age. The prophet even says that it was a mistake. They shouldn't have done that in that day. To sell everything and go and live together. That's how God had to scatter them, the prophet says. No, but you can just see the attitude that they had. No one said, this is mine. If you saw my fellow attribute, my brother from glory has a need. Sometimes, friends, we need to get this out of the way. So that inside of us can express itself to minister to the need. But you've got to allow it to express itself. Like the prophet said to Billy Paul in his marriage issues. If you will allow that Holy Ghost to manifest itself. The potential's in you. The solution is in you. But let it express itself. And Jesus was the full expression of this glory. These attributes. And he showed how it could be done. And Paul points back to him as our supreme example, friends. And he says, let this mind be in you. And God will never ask you to do something that's not possible. Amen. The potential is in each and every one of us tonight. For this mind that was in Christ to be able to be expressed. And it's the sweetest of thing. When you get two people. Paul said, I've no man like-minded like Timothy. Like-minded. It means one soul in two bodies. That's what it actually meant. Like-minded. He says, it doesn't matter if I am there, I'm not there. It's going to be done the same way because Timothy has the same mind. But he says, but not everyone else is like that because everybody else seeks his own things, Paul said. Ah, friends, we need to appreciate one another. Amen. We need to appreciate the genuine sons and daughters of God. You know, we have our likeness of a man on the outside with its own human frailties, its own human traits. But inside of there is gold. Inside of there is glory. Inside of there is something so precious. And Jesus knew that. And that's why he endured all things. He suffered all things. All the things he went through was he wanted to restore us back to the glory that we had. He wanted to bring us back to that glory. It's just come to close to think of when he goes to the cross. So he comes from the throne. The Bible says he makes himself of no reputation. The prophet says that word is kenos. It says kenos means like you take a glass and you pour something out. You see, when Jesus came, he was still the fullness of who God was, but just in another form. And kenos, when you kenos something, you change the form of it. You pour it out from one to another. To kenos means to strip something of the privileges that's due to it. So Jesus came down, but he was stripped of those privileges. Even of the fullness of knowledge, when he says, of that day and that hour, knoweth no man, not even the Son, not even the angels, says only my Father knows. That's how much he was stripped. Why was he stripped of all this power and privilege? So that he could be just like us and show us exactly the way that we could go. And the prophet says he never used that glory. He never used the great gifts. He never used the great power. He never did. But he used the same resources that we have to overcome every situation that he went through. The same resources that we have. And that's why God gave us our elder brother, Jesus. Yeah? Our perfect example, the captain of our salvation, the one who's gone before us. The one who's came and showed us the way. For us to walk in those bloody footprints. But what was the key to Jesus? It says in verse 7, he took on the form of a servant. Imagine. He took on the form of a servant. You know what it is? It's a bond servant. A bond servant is one who has surrendered their rights to the will of another. That's what it is to be a servant. Is to surrender your rights to the will of another. Look at all the rights that Jesus could have expressed. But every step of the way, he surrendered his rights to the will of another. To unfold the work of redemption for us. And if we say we're his sons, we're the servants of God, we're serving him right. It means To be a real servant means submission. It means willing submission, willing obedience to His will. That's the great acid test, friends. Not how much we do anything else, not how much we know, not how much we can do. But this is the real characteristic of the word, to show what God favors, what God looks down upon, what God can take up the mountain. Because when Jesus went up Mount Transfiguration, just for that season, the glory that was in Him shone forth. That's when He was unveiled. He was revealed in His glory. Just for that season of time. But that glory was always in Him. But in order for God to be able to take a man, for God to be able to take a woman to that place, on that mountain of adoption, and be able to say, "This is my beloved son. His name on the check is as good as my name on the check." What is the prerequisite? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. That's the example. That's what God has shown to us and demonstrated before us. And has lived a life before us, having stripped Himself, humbled Himself, took on the form of a servant to show us the way. And what is the prophecy to the prophet? Because thou hast chosen the narrow way. It's choice. It's in the power of choice. He didn't have to do it. The prophet could have claimed his rights. He could have gone the easier way. People wanted to buy him an airplane. People wanted to give him $1.5 million. But what was important, as he learned obedience through the things he went through, he got to that stage, 1963, God could take him to the mountain and saying, "This is my beloved son." And the king's sword could drop into his hand. Because the mind that was in Christ was in him. The mind that was in Christ was now in this man. And that credit and atmosphere, you listen to the testimony of Brother Charlie Cox. He says, after 1963, when the prophet would go hunting, many times he came back with nothing. He says, because there was such an atmosphere around the prophet. He says that the prophet one day explained it to him and said, "Brother Charlie, when I go out hunting, the animals just come to me."
Amen.
Imagine that. But in order for there to be such an atmosphere, there's got to be an attitude. There's got to be a certain mind, a certain conduct, a certain disposition inside of somebody that can keep God so close to a man all the time.
Amen.
That no matter where he was, he could break into that realm.
Amen.
And it's the mind that was in Christ.
Amen.
That's what he says, let this mind that was in Christ also be in you. So it takes on the form of a servant, but how does it finish up? It says, and being found, yeah, as a man, he humbled himself. Continually. Humbling yourself under the will of God. Humbling yourself to the revealed will of God. That's the secret. That is the pathway. When He comes and reveals something to you, something that He doesn't want you to do, something that He doesn't want you to have, or something that He does want you to do, but your natural flesh doesn't want to do it, it's that ability to overcome yourself. It's that ability to humble yourself. To become obedient. To submit your rights to the will of another. That's the key. And Jesus showed it as He lived step by step His life for us. As He went through that. It says in verse 8 that He became obedient unto death. Obedient unto death. As the Logos, He knew all things. He knew in that realm of having omniscience, knowing all things. But now He came down, was stripped of certain things, and now He started to experience something He had never experienced before. You know what that thing was? He started to experience what it was like to be obedient when there was opposition. Obedience when there was temptation. Obedience when there was another force trying to stop Him from being obedient.
Amen.
Because when He was the Logos, He was the Word.
Amen.
There was nothing like that that He'd ever experienced before. But now He comes down, strips Himself, lays aside His dignity, lays aside His privileges, lays aside so much of those, although He was still fully God on the inside, but He stripped Himself. The prophet said it's the best way. He said it's like a king who one day calls all of his counselors and says, I want to go now and I want to know what it's like to be with them. And he takes his royal robe off and he puts it on the throne. He takes off his crown. He puts it down. He puts on the apparel of a servant. And he tells them, I'm not coming back until such and such a time. I'm going to live among them. I'm going to go and be like them. And all the time that he was there among those peasants, he was still the king. He still had the character of the king. He still had all the rights of the king. But he had willingly and voluntarily stripped himself, poured himself into another form, and come down for a specific purpose. And he was going to stay like that until the purpose was fulfilled, then go back again, put on the railroad, put on the crown, sit on the throne, and he was going to be even better equipped to be able to help his brethren. Amen. And that's what Jesus did for us. Amen. That's how the prophet says, that's exactly what it is. He became obedient, he humbled himself. Webster, the dictionary says to be obedient means, sounds simple, to be willing to obey. To be obedient, you've got to be willing to obey. It comes to self-will once again. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He was willing to obey. Even when it meant for the first time ever since, for eternity, that he was going to have to be separated from the glory of his Father. That he was going to have to step into death itself. Eternal separation, death. Take death upon himself. Imagine, he was the King of Glory. Amen. He couldn't stand sin. When sin rose up in heaven, he declared war against that sin. And he cast that sin out of heaven and he would never allow it back into heaven again. But now he comes down, takes on the form of a servant, humbles himself. What does he do? He takes our sin upon himself. Amen. He was still the same God who hated sin, who wages war with sin. But now he stripped himself and took our sin upon himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross, to die out of the very presence of God. And every step of the way, it was a willful choice that he made, because he knows this pleases my Father. Unto this was I born. How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? Every step of the way. But he also knew there was the glory. He longed to go back to the glory. He says, Father, restore me back to the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. But he knew, I can't press anything. I can't force anything. I will go back to the glory once I finish the purpose. So that's why he didn't focus on the glory. He focused on the purpose. He focused on the will. He focused on the path that he was supposed to walk. And what was the great thing he had to do? He had to minister to his brethren. He had to minister to those fellow attributes that were now trapped in time and minister an entrance back for them so that he could go back to the glory and take them back as well. And that's why it says he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was obedient unto shedding his own blood. He was obedient unto crying on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yet he was the most beloved. He was the beloved of heaven, but look at him dying on a cross. And then not only that, when he dies, he goes down to the regions of the lost. And then the situation starts to change. Then he goes to paradise. What happens in paradise? It's like a first fruits of the resurrection. He starts now to take the attributes back with him to glory. Amen. He takes the thief on the cross. He takes Adam. He takes Abraham. He takes all of them that were waiting there. He takes them back into the glory with him. And friends, he's coming soon. And what's he coming for? To receive us unto himself. To take his brethren back once again. Because he's paid the price. He's shed his blood. The veil has been opened. We can now go back to the glory. That's how Paul, looking at the needs of the church, he said, brethren, we can try to prescribe many things here. We can try to tell you to listen to a lot more messages. We can try to tell you to do this, that, and the other. But he says, let me tell you the answer to all of these things that you're going through. All the persecution you're going through, if you want to have the power to endure, if you want to please God in this persecution, all the trouble you're having with other people, even in the church, if you want to please God and come out the other side and he says to you, this is my beloved son. Paul gives us a prescription. Let this mind be in you. that was also in Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Our friends, each day we should pray and say, Father, I want the mind that was in Christ to also be in me. When you're facing up to difficulties in the home, say, Father, let not my mind have the preeminence here, but let the mind that was in Christ express itself here, whatever situation that we're in. And friends, the mind that is in Christ is going to call you to do hard things. The prophet says, me following faithfully this message, it cost me 10,000 friends. What about preaching present stage of the ministry? All doors have been closed.
Yes.
It's the harder way.
Amen.
But because thou hast chosen
Amen.
The narrow way, it's the harder way. The Lord said, it's my way.
Amen.
The prophet says, underlined, it's my way. Therefore, a huge portion of heaven awaits you.
Amen.
It's always like that.
Amen.
That's why Jesus, when he ascended, he rose up on high. There was the great triumphal entry.
Amen.
Lift up the everlasting gates, the way the prophet speaks of it, about when Christ went up with those from paradise. And they said, who is this king that enters in? He's the king, the Lord of glory.
Amen.
And God gave him a name above every other name. Why? Because he went down further than any person had ever gone. He willingly endured things that no one else will ever have to willingly endure. Therefore, God says, I'm going to take you from there and give you a name that's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Ah, friends, and we're so glad to confess it so willingly today. To say he's Lord, but Lord speaks of ownership. It speaks of rulership. And the prophet says, if so many of us, we just want him as a savior. But do we want him as a Lord? When he comes doors and doors to the different aspects of your life and knocks on that door and says, let me take control here. And then you know the mind of God for that aspect of your life. As Brother Lobanza showed on Sunday, willful rejection of the revealed will of God, it's sin.
Amen.
That's what sin is, when you reject the revealed will of God. When you don't open the door willfully and say, let the Lord of glory come in. Let the mind of Christ come into the situation inside of my life. Friends, we come into communion. And then, what does it speak of? He suffered unto death. He willingly, nobody took his life from him. He says, I laid down my life. No man takes it from me. It was his own decision. I'm going to lay down my life. Because that's what he had to do. Look at his body that was broken. Book of Isaiah says he was marred beyond any other man. Because the devil got into those that had a hold of him. And what Jesus went through, we can never understand. And then there was the spiritual torment that he had to go through when he became a sacrifice for our sins. And then we're going to wash one another's feet. And let's not forget, when you wash one another's feet, that he comes and he washes our feet.
Amen.
He ministers to us every day. He ministers to us each stage of the journey. How many times has the Lord helped you? He ministered to Brother Eli.
Amen.
He came and washed our brother's feet. He protected him. He used the glory to
Amen.
The attributes, the power, the glory he could keep to himself, but he used it to protect. He uses it to provide. He uses it to heal. He uses it to deliver. He uses it to strengthen, to empower.
Amen.
He ministers to us. That's what he's still washing our feet. And then in John 13, he lays aside his garment, which is a type. He laid aside his garment. He laid aside his glory. He took on a towel. He girded himself with a towel. He took on the form of a servant. And he washed their feet. And if you go and read that chapter, you'll see what happened just before. What were the disciples saying at the Last Supper? Who will be the greatest? I'll be the greatest. No, I was chosen first. No, I was given the keys. And Jesus said, let me show them. Let me not speak to them. Let me show them.
Amen.
And he comes and he lays aside his splendor, lays aside his rights, girds himself, and he comes and washes their feet. Then he says, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all.
Amen.
He says, he who would be greatest, let him be your minister. Ah, friends, can you not see how far the message is from Laodicea? That's why this message will never be popular in this age. It'll never be. People want to dress the way they want to dress. People want to talk the way they want to talk. They want to spend their time the way they want to spend their time. They want to get in relationships with who they want to get in relationship. That's fine. It's your life. But you'll never have the glory. You'll never have the divine favor. You'll never have the atmosphere that God can pour forth his glory into, because it's your attitude that determines your atmosphere. And it's that willing submission to the will of God. It's that willing surrender of something like Abraham, the most precious thing, when the Lord says, take your son, your only son that you love, Isaac, that you've been waiting 25 years, take your son and come and lay him on the altar as a burnt offering. And Abraham did it willingly. He wasn't forced. And God was so pleased. And the blessing of heaven came down upon that man. It's that kind of thing, friends. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. But he always knows what's best. And if you want the blessing, bring yourself in obedience. Willful submission. Take on the form of a servant. Minister to your brothers and sisters. As you wash one another's feet, remember whose feet you're washing. Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. He who receives you has received me. He who refuses you has refused me. We his brethren. And let's appreciate that, friends. And if there's something inside of your life that you know there's not a reconciliation, there's a breach somewhere along the way, why don't you pray and say, Lord, let your glory be expressed through me. Help me, Lord. I want this potential that's in me, which can create an atmosphere that can change any situation. I want this to be expressed, that I might be reconciled to your son, that I might be reconciled to your daughter, that it may please you the way that it was in the book of Acts, when they're of one mind, one heart, one purpose. And the Bible says, great grace was upon them all. Amen. And that's what it's going to take. So let's stand, friends. Let's come to a time of prayer before we approach the communion table. If there's anything inside of your life, let's put it under the blood now. Let's search ourselves in the presence of God. Let's seek his grace. Hallelujah. Paul said, let's bow our heads. You know, Paul said in the Bible that he who eats or drinks unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment, damnation unto himself. Therefore, let a man, let a woman examine themselves. He says, because if we will judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And he says, this is the reason that many of you are weak and sickly, and some sleep, failing to discern the body of the Lord. So let's come to the blood. Let's come to the perfect sacrifice this evening. Let's come to the token that has been shed. Let's come to the fountain that's been opened in the house of David. Let's say, Lord, search me, Lord. Try me. Try my thoughts. Search my heart, O Lord. See if there be any unclean thing in me. And then let's make these things right before the Lord, before we come to the Lord's table. Let's all pray. Oh, Father, I look unto thee upon this evening, Lord. I ask of thee as I bring myself before thee, Lord, upon this day, as I want to appreciate and thank you, Father, for the grace of this evening, Lord, upon this night. Seek, Lord, is our petition, Father. Yes, Lord. Amen. Let's open 1 Corinthians chapter 11, saints. Just our communion scripture. It's really warm in here. Is anybody else as warm as me? It's warm. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. We'll read it up to when he gets to the Lord's Supper. It says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. It's incredible to think that message believers could do those things. They could come to communion service, have the feast afterwards, and everyone would have like fellowship and a feast and go home drunk from a communion service. You know, and people would come and come there quickly first so they could eat more than the other people and things. It's amazing what we can do. Then he says, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, showing the sacredness of the Lord's Supper. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this bread. Bless the hands that have prepared it, Lord. Father, we thank you for what it represents. As we break this bread and as we partake one loaf, but Father, each of us partaking of a piece. Father, we thank you for that, Lord. Bless it. Father, we pray for this cup, one cup that you shall all drink from, Lord. We thank you for your blood that was shed. Now wash us in your blood, Lord. Forgive us every sin and trespass. Forgive us our presumptuous sins. Forgive us for things which, Father, Lord, maybe we didn't even know that we did. That we may approach you in an acceptable way. Bless us as you wash one another's feet as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just ask Brother George to come to sing as we have communion.
Oh, we'll For me.
set me free.
Washing, we don't need to read a scripture. We've already read our scripture. So we just ask the brothers come this side, sisters to go that side, and may the Lord bless you as we wash one another's feet. Amen.
if you get there before I do, coming forth to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm coming to, coming forth to carry me.
Saints, you don't know when that day is. I don't know if some of the saints saw that Brother Younce from the Younce brothers, who sings at Brother Donnie Reagan's church, how Wednesday afternoon got shot dead 3:30 at his house in the afternoon, right at his front door. He was a real good singer, used to sing together with Brother Louis and the brothers and things like that. Maybe when he woke up that morning, he didn't know that was the day. The chariot was coming to take him home. The best thing is to be ready. You never know the day, you never know the hour. Yeah, but the Lord has numbered our days. And the Bible says, teach me, Lord, to number my days as well. Let's bow our heads. Thank you very much, everyone who's come this evening. May the Lord bless us as we go. Keep us safe. I'd ask, Brother Will, would you mind come close for us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, Father, once again we come before you at the end of this service. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. We may not realize it now, Lord, but indeed it is your grace and your mercy that has allowed us to gather in this place. Father, oh God, we do not know what our brother Younce was thinking. He may have been thinking of how he will enjoy communion with the saints on a Friday night, but Father, he didn't know that that day was his day. And Lord, how we pray, Lord, Father, for the family that's been left behind, that you comfort them. But Lord, may this be a time where we would also look in our lives to see if all the things that you have required of us, Lord, are right there in us also. For we do not know the hour or the day that you would come. Lord, as you have been so merciful to us, Lord, to bring the very mind that was in Christ. And you have revealed it, Lord, to us in thousands of messages, Lord, to show us what is required of us. Father, I pray your grace, Father, upon us, Lord, that we would not rest day and night, Lord, but to seek for that precious pearl, Lord, until we have found it. Help us, O God. Father, may you teach us more and more, Lord, to be ever so humble as you were. Father, to put down our own will, our own desires, Lord, willingly also to take up, Lord, thy will, that, Father, it may be done in our lives, O God. Father, I pray for every person here, Lord, that has heard this word, that, Lord, on that day of judgment, when the books are opened, it will be shown indeed what was in our minds and how we desired, Lord, tonight to do thy will, Lord. Amen. Father, may you help us as we go from this place, Lord. This is the best medicine that you could ever give for every problem, every squabble. Lord, let us take of the mind of Christ and go hand in hand out of here, one with another, Lord. Father, in perfect unity that the world has never seen. Lord, let it be us, O God. And I pray, O God, you'd have mercy upon me, that I be not the one standing in the way of unity. Lord, and I know it's the desire of every brother, every sister here, Lord. Father, none of us is willing to stand in the way, Lord, but we want to be vessels completely in your hands. Also help us, Father, that when the enemy comes, Lord, to try and say something, Lord, Father, to corrupt our way we look at one another, that we may refuse him completely, O God, and instead take the antidote and speak what is right. Lord, O God, let us take your word, Lord. Let us lean on your understanding. Help us, Father, that we may compliment one another, O God, Father, to bring that atmosphere, to have the right attitude, the atmosphere in which all things are possible. Amen. The atmosphere, Lord, in which your sons and daughters are born. Lord, help us, Father, for you have given it unto us that we may create that atmosphere. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, oh God, Father, help us to meditate upon it, Lord. Father, not to let it down, for it is when we think on these things that you draw near, Father. Oh God, when the enemy comes tomorrow to try to divert our thoughts, Father, we pray, may we remember tonight, Lord, and help us, Father, that when we would meet on Sunday, we would start off, Lord, from where we are living off tonight, Lord, that, Father, your presence will come in the place, Lord, and that we would reach even higher heights than what we have reached tonight, Lord. Father, we are desiring for that higher ground. Let us stand upon it, Lord, and never leave it, oh, Father. Lord, we are so secure in you, Lord. Help us, Father, that we may be diligent on these things, Father, for the glory of your name. I pray, Lord, for all that are not well tonight, yes, praying, Father, for Brother Mike, Lord, that you touch him and heal him in his eye, oh God. Amen. Father, may there be a testimony come, Lord. Father, may you restore him fully. And I pray, Lord, upon our sister Viva, Lord, at home and well tonight, touch her also, Father, that when we would gather, she would be in the midst of your children to glorify your name. And I pray your blessing upon our brother George. Oh God, how he has refused to look at the circumstances of his health, Lord, that he may be on his post of duty. Oh God, this is what you are looking for. I pray you would, Father, give him abundance of health. Make him strong. Lord, may you give him more and more skill, Lord, that when he picks up the instrument to play, Lord, the music, all the evil spirits may be driven away, Lord, even as it was in the life of David, Lord. Father, I ask this blessing for your people. Please, Father, bless our brother Andrew. Lord, oh God, I pray you'd use him also continually, Lord, and magnify, Lord, Father, the words that he speaks, Lord, for they are not his. They are your words, Lord. Father, I pray you'd use him continually. You'd bless him for the labors, Lord. Father, every other brother, every sister, no matter what part they have played, no matter how small it may be in our eyes, Father, I just pray you'd give us a unity, Lord of Spirit, to work together, Lord, as a clock to bring thy glory, Father, down here, Lord. We need you, Lord. May you help us until we meet again. Father, may we continue to be in unity, O Spirit. Lord, we commit this into your hands. Help us that we may guard it jealously also, Lord. Father, for it's our inheritance, and the enemy is there, Lord, to try and steal it from us. But, Father, we would not give way. Father, we are just trusting that you'd help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit these things to you. Amen. 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 Amen.
Let's sing one as we dismiss by George. God bless you, saints.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I in our trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground, yes, sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground, yes, sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Built his covenant, his blood, Support me in the whelming flood, when all around my soul gives way.